From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, September 11th, 2017. And on this day, Maine American Red Cross volunteers head to Florida to help out after Hurricane Irma. And what Maine's substitute teacher shortage means for schools and for kids. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Several Maine communities today held observances recognizing the 16th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. In Portland, a ceremony was held at the 9/11 Memorial in Fort Allen Park. In Bangor, city officials unfurled a large American flag outside the Central Fire Station, where Bangor Chief Thomas Higgins said even after 16 years, the tragedy continues to impact the lives of first responders everywhere.
For those of us who work in the fire service, it's still hard to fathom that on that day, 343 firefighters perished and sacrificed their lives doing what they loved to do. And when they went running into buildings that they, some of them surely knew was going to come crumbling down around them in an effort to try to save people.
Other Maine observances were held by the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office, the Holden Fire Department, and the University of Southern Maine. As Florida residents grapple with the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, several American Red Cross volunteers from Maine have traveled to the state to help. 14 are in Florida and 8 more stationed in Georgia and South Carolina. As Patty White reports, the Red Cross says the need for volunteers will likely continue for months.
Jim Sear of Brunswick is a new Red Cross volunteer who just got called up for his first assignment, Irma. He traveled to Florida last Friday to help set up an evacuation center in the city of LaBelle. The scariest moment, he says, was when the eye of the hurricane was near.
You could hear branches, you know, snapping off trees, and some roof tiles were coming off at some point. And there's a lot of anxiety.
Walking in the downtown on Monday afternoon, Sear surveyed the damage.
There are trees down, branches down, and most places are closed still. But someone from law enforcement told me there's not a lot of structural damage here where we are.
Many of the 200 people from the evacuation center left Monday morning, he says. Now, he and other volunteers are setting up a longer-term shelter for those who can't go home, either because their homes are flooded or they simply can't travel. But he says people are thankful to be safe.
One thing you hear is, you know, you can replace things, you can replace your homes, but you can't replace people. And so, people are saying, hey, I'm glad to be alive.
The disaster program manager for the American Red Cross of Maine, Larry French, says Sear is one of 44 people from Maine who are currently deployed to help with response efforts to Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey.
More people than usual being deployed. And one of the things we're finding, which is great, is the community is stepping up largely and saying, not currently Red Cross volunteer, but I'm interested in being trained to be. And so we've been offering a lot of trainings for folks to deploy that have not deployed in the past.
French says there's plenty of work to do as response efforts enter a longer recovery phase that focuses on helping people back into their homes and rebuilding what they've lost.
We expect that in Harvey and in Irma, we may be involved in these responses for months.
Jeff Oman of South Portland will be in Florida for at least 2 weeks. He arrived last Friday on his third deployment as a Red Cross volunteer. Working to deliver food and water, he faced an 80-mile-long traffic jam to get to his assignment in Tallahassee. By Sunday, he says, the situation was more intense.
You really get the sense that things were getting, maybe, I don't want to call it scary, but, you know, gas stations were all running out. The few that had gas, there were long lines, water's running out everywhere.
Oman himself had to stay in a shelter with 300 others Sunday night. By Monday afternoon, he was waiting to be cleared to resume his work delivering supplies. Oman is forgoing a paycheck from his job as a dock master back in Maine to do this work. But knowing he's helping others who've lost so much, it's a concession he doesn't mind. And he says there's a certain comfort in knowing Maine volunteers are stepping up to help others.
Someday, if we ever have a major disaster, we know we have the rest of the country to come and help us out.
Larry French of the Red Cross says for those who want to help but can't deploy out of state, there are plenty of volunteer opportunities within Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Now, at some point during your school life, you likely had a substitute teacher. Teachers, like anyone else, can suddenly get sick or have a family emergency. And when that happens, the early morning call goes out to a list of subs who've been screened and pre-approved for duty. But school districts across Maine report they are struggling to find enough subs. Robbie Feinberg has our story.
2 years ago, Lewiston Superintendent Bill Webster says the district had a crisis on its hands. There just weren't enough substitute teachers to fill in when needed. On the average day, Webster says the school could only locate enough subs to fill about two-thirds of the demand.
Because at the end of the day, we may be good at educating in the classroom. It doesn't necessarily mean we're good at recruiting substitutes.
Webster says 2 years ago, Lewiston was forced to hire an outside temp agency to fill its substitute teacher needs and get that 65% rate up above 90%. And even then, the problem persisted.
The results of Kelly were, at least on the surface, no better than what we were doing.
Webster doesn't blame the company, though. He blames the economy. With unemployment rates so low, he says, it's hard to find people who are willing to work 2 or 3 days a week as a substitute for pay as low as $50 a day in some districts. And Webster says because there's also a shortage of educators in the state, many good subs are quickly promoted. They become education technicians and eventually full-time teachers. The sub shortage, Webster says, has left schools scrambling to find anyone willing to fill in. And that's a problem.
Any required substitute that is not provided is creating additional stresses on a school. You know, in the worst case, can have a negative impact on school climate.
It's hard when someone really doesn't know what it's like to teach in a school or how you even interact with kids.
Retired teacher and current sub Janice Sarabona says if a substitute doesn't know how to handle a classroom, it can quickly get out of hand. She says she's often required to use all of her skills as a former educator to keep kids in line.
You know, so kids will say, well, I can do this, so I can do that. And then I'll say to them, well, now I'm going to check with your teacher because I already know. So please make sure that you're giving me the correct information.
Administrators say retired teachers like Sarabona are their first choice in the pool of substitutes. But they're being forced to take steps to expand that pool. And many are now upping substitute pay to as much as $100 a day. Some are advertising more on social media or loosening their criteria for who's allowed to become a sub.
You guys go outside. Go outside. Go outside.
The other, more hands-on solution is to show prospective substitutes exactly what being a sub is like to help them decide if it's right for them. Many communities host substitute crash course classes. About 10 potential subs have showed up to this class in Waterville. Some are retirees, some are new moms and dads re-entering the workforce.
And I'd probably be standing here by the door because I know the bell's coming.
Longtime sub Ron Merrill leads them through a kind of substitute teacher simulation, offering tips on how to deal with unruly kids.
Okay, I've got 3 steps, people. Step one, everybody in the seats. I've got about 4 standing. I've got 2 standing. I've got 1 standing. Everybody's in their seats. Okay, very good, in your seats. Step two, everybody quiet.
But Merrill also speaks with them about the realities of school as a way to weed out the prospective substitutes who may not actually want to be in the classroom.
If I have a bad day, like Jeanette said she does, I try to figure out, what did I do wrong? What can I do? So, a lot of times, you know, it's not your fault. You've done everything you possibly can. And if you wasn't in there and I was in there, probably the same thing would happen to me. So you really don't want to take this personal.
As the class wraps up, Merrill asks the students, how many of you still want to be subs after learning what it takes? A few appear to waver, but the other 6 or so indicate that they plan on sticking with it. And that means they may get a call very early in the morning over the next few weeks, and in a small way, help ease the state shortage of good substitute teachers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. You can also hear more about this issue on Maine Calling this Wednesday at 1 p.m. The guest is Nicholson Baker, the author of Substitute, Going to School with 1,000 Kids. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, September 11th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.